We have a tradition that on Tisha B'Av afternoon, Mashiach is born. Whether that's literal or figurative, I don't know. Mashiach's nickname is Menachem. I have a son, Menachem, who part of naming him Menachem is that he should be zocha to be part of bringing Mashiach. We are accustomed to speak of Inyani Mashiach at the end of Tisha B'Av. We find very unusual minhagim that Chazal allowed to encourage people to think about Mashiach. We see certain kulas, there's a minhag that the women were allowed to wash their hair, I think, in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. I don't remember if that's exactly, the Beis Yosef says exactly like that. We have minhagim that people are allowed to learn Divrei Nechama at the end of Tisha B'Av, even though really it should be against the halacha because it's not the parts of Torah that are permitted on Tisha B'Av. But there are certain kulas that Chazal allowed to be mechazei Klal Yisrael throughout the generations when there's so many things that got us down, so many things that make us wonder when is Mashiach coming, so we had to chaperai in certain opportunities to be mechazik ourselves in the confidence that he's on his way. I always tell, women, sometimes I got a phone call last week, a woman who's giving birth soon and want to know what she'll do for the fast. So I would tell what the Chofetz Chaim would tell people regarding Bias HaMashiach. A woman's 9 months pregnant. She's 9 months and a week. 9 months and 2 weeks. 9 months, 2 weeks and a day. 9 months, 2 weeks and 2 days. At a certain point, a woman at that stage might just feel, forget it, the baby's never coming out. And that's just because they're frustrated. But the reality is, the longer it goes, the closer they are to the birth. So too, when we have been waiting for Mashiach for a year, 2 years, 100, 1,000, 1,500, 1,600, 1,700, 1,800, forget it, he's never coming. It's the exact opposite, the Chofetz Chaim would say. Just like Isha B'Tzirah, like we spoke of this morning, is getting closer and closer to the moment that Mashiach will be at our doorstep. So I want to speak about Yomos HaMashiach, talk about what it will look like, or what we know it will look like, or what we don't know it will look like. The Gemara in Shabbos cites a pasuk that there will come a time, Asher Tomer, that people will say, Ein lo behem chayfetz, I'm not interested in these days, in these years, in this epoch, in this era. Eilu yamos HaMashiach, Eilu yamei HaMashiach, Shein behem lo zuchus v'lo chova. Chazal understand that Yomos HaMashiach is a time when there won't be the opportunity to fulfill mitzvos, or do averos, no zechus, no opportunity for mitzvos, v'lachova, no opportunity for averos. Which we'll explain what that would mean in a moment. On the other hand, Shmuel argues, and says, no, that's not what, Shmuel had a different picture of how he paints Yomos HaMashiach. To the contrary, Shmuel says, Ein bein olam hazel Yomos HaMashiach, they're going to be identical. There's going to be no differences. The same mitzvahs now will be the mitzvahs then. The same averus now will be the averus later. The only difference will be between now and the time of Mashiach. El Hashiba and Malchios Bilvad. We won't be oppressed from the nations. That's all. Other than that, everything else. Olam Kemenhago Noheg. And he has a very, very, very funny proof. Shmuel says, you think Yomos HaMashiach are going to be all hunky-dory, all going to be happy and everything's great. I'll show you a pasuk in the Chumash that says that that's not the case. Very unusual pasuk. Look what he brings. Shenemar ki lo yechtal evyon mikerav haaretz. There will never be a lack of poor people. There's always going to be a poor person. There's always going to need to give tzedakah for all of eternity. Shmuel understands. So you see it. There's going to be poverty for all time, for all of history, even during Yomos HaMashiach. Shmuel argues, and therefore Shmuel takes this other position, maybe this less likable position, that there's going to be not such great times in the Yomos HaMashiach also. Okay, we won't have the pressure from the nations, one of Shibun Malchios, But other things, both good and bad, will exist as they are now in Yemos HaMashiach. As opposed to the first opinion in Chazal, the first opinion in the Gemara that says that it's going to be a whole different type of experience. It will be Yemos HaMashiach, will be an experience without mitzvahs, without it will just look totally different. And this Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah cites the story of a person who came to the Chafetz Chaim and said to the Chafetz Chaim how he so much desires Mashiach's arrival, he so much can't wait for Mashiach to come because it'll be so much easier to do mitzvahs. It'll be so much easier to do mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are so hard. The Yetzirah is so strong, so captivating. And I just can't wait for that time when we won't have the Yetzirah. It'll be so easy to do mitzvahs. Life will be smooth. I can't wait for Mashiach. And the Chafetz Chaim responded with this Gemara that we just mentioned, that there'll come a time that there won't be the Yetzirah to get us to want to do Averis and to hold us back from mitzvahs, but at the same time there won't be the Zechar for being able to do the mitzvahs either. And the Chafetz Chaim described a flower salesman. A flower salesman is very nervous. You know, there's a market rate for flour, and there's a high market rate. Market rate for flour is, I don't know, 5 kopecks, 5 rubles, a pound, a kilo, whatever measurement it was in the Chafetz Chaim's time and place. And this flower salesman was so worried that he didn't want the price to fall. Why? Because as long as the price is high, he's going to make a lot of money. And some people approached him and said, why are you so nervous that the price might fall? The lower the price goes, the more buyers you're going to have, the more customers you're going to have. You have a lot of customers, you're going to make a lot of money. And he says to them, you idiots. You nincompoops. You don't know the first thing about business. I guess I know now there's volume and there's different types of business. But he says, if the price goes down, so I'm not going to make so much money, I'm not going to make much money. I'll have more customers, but I won't be making any money from them. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim told this person. He told the person, yes, you want it to be easy to do mitzvahs. You'll be able to do lots and lots and lots and lots of mitzvahs, but they're going to be cheap. They're going to be what comes easy, goes easy. What goes easy, comes easy. Easy come, easy go. And therefore, yes, mitzvahs are hard. Yes, averus alluring. Yes, it's easy to fall prey to our Yetzirah, but that's part of the avoda, and that's what gives us schar. So this is a machlokas that we just learned, what Yemos HaMashiach will look like. Will look very similar to where we are now, or as the Gemara opens, it will be very vastly different, lo zuchus, lo chova. There is a very, let's take a pause from that, we'll come back to that in a minute or two, or three. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos that talks about what you're allowed to carry without an Erev. And there's a discussion, what about weapons? You know, this is halacha l'maaseh, you know, when in Eretz Yisrael, when people, you know, have to carry arms, but what happens if it's a place where there's no Erev? And sometimes you carry arms because it's necessary, so then, pikuach nefesh, do whatever you want. But sometimes it's just part of your clothing, and you carry it because that's just part of your, you know, you just carry your weapon wherever you go, not necessarily because you need it, or there's a chashash, there's a concern, there's a risk. So this question, if it's considered carrying or not carrying, is addressed in the Mishnah in Shabbos. Lo yetzei ha'ish, the Tanakhama says, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to carry. Lo b'sayif, lo b'keshes, not with your sword, not with your bow. Lo b'tris, not with your shield. Lo ba'al, I think it's another kind of shield, a different shaped shield. Lo b'romach, not with your spear. V'miyatzeh, if you carry it outside of an Erev, you carry it into Rishus HaRabim, Chayv Chatas. It's an Issa D'Oraisa, an Issa Skila, if you carry your weapon in a place in Rishus HaRabim. Comes the Gemara, continues the mission, says Rabbi Lezer, says, no, Tachshitin Hein Lo. Right, it makes a man go down to the south. It's always funny, because I have students from all over the country. And I never realized how different Southerners were than us New Yorkers. I had students from the South, from Alabama, students from Florida, And they're telling me all about their gun collections. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I once shot a, you know, a single shot thing when I was part of the Boy Scouts and Boy Scout camp. It's like, Rabbi, you don't know what it means to shoot a real gun. You know, they're talking about this. Rabbi, you have to get a recoilless. You can't deal with the recoil. Making fun of me. You don't even get the jokes because you're New Yorkers. Tachshitin hein lo. A gun is a person's, it's tachshitin hein lo. It's a chashuv thing. It's your pride. It's your, you know. Some people walk around with Rolexes. Some people walk around with Patek Philippe's. And in other neighborhoods, they walk around with... Yeah. Chachamim omrim, no, eno elo gnai. No, walking around with a gun, walking around with a weapon is a gnai, and I'll prove it to you, say Chachamim. Shneamar, as Pasuk says, I think it's in Pasuk in Yeshaya, v'chitesu, we know the Pasuk, I think it's on the Liberty Bell. V'chitesu charbo sam li'itim achanisa sam l'maz meros, lo yisa goyal goy cherev la'il mudol milchama, there'll come a time, there won't be any fighting, they shall, help me, beat their swords into plowshares and... We're going to get to that later. And something into pruning hooks. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's not the Liberty Bell. Okay. So, Chachamim say, you see from that pasuk, that La'asid Lavo, which is talking about the ideal time, the utopian time, it will be a time when there won't be battles, and we won't be using our swords. We're going to beat them into plowshares, and we're going to melt them into I don't know what. So we're not going to be using them as guns, as weapons. So you see, guns are not a positive thing, because if they were positive, they would very much exist in a more utopian type of existence. And therefore, Chacham say, this Pasuk in Yeshaya proves that they're gnai, and if they're gnai, they're not considered decorative, they're not considered like your clothing, and therefore, it's considered carrying. Therefore, it's considered a mas, and you'll be chai if you're carrying it on Shabbos. And the Gemara continues and asks, if you argue, Rebbe Eliezer, that they're tachshitin hein lo, that weapons are a man's, you know, they show a man who's a man, you know, they make a man into a man, and they're tachshitin, they're a man's ornaments, then how are you going to explain the pasuk that says, lasad lavo, they're going to be beaten into plowshares? Why doesn't the man wear them? After all, they're his ornament. It doesn't say that they're going to take rings and necklaces and beat them into plowshares. It only says it about guns and about bows and arrows and swords and spears and what's the difference?
Those will become useless. No, not dormant over here. Now it's still dormant. It's still part of you going out and you rebel.
So Chazal are asking. The Bryce is asking. Me'achad de tachshitin halo, mipnei ma'hin betelis liyamas haMashiach. You hold that they're tachshit. You hold that they're decorative. Tehele noy bi'alm, as the Gemara says. What's the point of? Okay, so whatever the Gemara responds, not important for us. And either way, the Gemara continues with that other opinion that we saw earlier. The other opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Ein bein olam hazel yimos hamashiach elishib galios bavad." Before we had Malchus, here's Galios. Okay, basically the same thing. So we have a machlokas. We have a machlokas whether or not la'asid lavo, things will be look vastly different. Everything will be hunky dory. Everything will be beautiful. No wars, no fighting, no anything bad, no maybe no mitzvahs, maybe no averus. Or as Shmuel says, it's basically going to look the same, just we're not going to have the oppression of the nations. So we have a machlokas. We have a machlokas, what la'asid lavo will look like. So let's open up the Rambam and see how he paskins. He has two choices, right? The Rambam could either paskin like the first opinion who says that the world of Mashiach will be a utopian world, will be a world where everything will be incredible, will be vastly different from the world that we know it. Or the Rambam could paskin that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Limos HaMashiach Ela Shiva Malchus B'Vad. It will basically be just about the same, just no Shiva Malchus. So if you open up the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim at the very, very, very end of the Rambam of the Yad HaChazak, where he talks about Limos HaMashiach, and interestingly enough, he quotes not the first opinion of the Gemara, not the first opinion of the Mishnah, but he quotes Shmuel. Amru Chacham, Ein Bein Olam Hazel Yimos HaMashiach El Hashiv and Malchus Belvad. The Rambam seems to paskin like Shmuel that the world in the future will look just identical to the world we live in now, the way we see it now, the way we experience it now, with the trials, the tribulations, the challenges that we face now, except Iran won't have a nuclear weapon, and Iran won't be out to get us. But other than that, everything will look the same. That's the psak of the Rambam. The problem is, he asks the Kesef Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, the Gra, there's another Rambam. Rambam elsewhere in Hilchas Tshuva, flip back lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of pages. And the Rambam writes the following. That the Rambam writes, the Nevi'im have described a beautiful utopian world that describes Yemos HaMashiach. Kol tovos shemisnabim b'hem ha-Nevi'im li'Yisrael, einam el ledvarim shebegush enenim b'hem Yisrael Yemos HaMashiach. Will come a time when Memshala will return to Klal Yisrael and will enjoy the pleasures of the world in an exquisite way, in an exquisite manner. And that's the description of Yemos HaMashiach. The Rambam elsewhere also makes the same point that Lo Nisnabu HaNevi'im Elo Yemos HaMashiach Bilvad, meaning all the incredible descriptions of what the Nevi'im have described. Yeshaya HaNavi describes an incredible world that we all hope to live and to see speedily, describes this world of Yemos HaMashiach, which seems to tell us that the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam's approach, is that of the other opinion in the Gemara, the other opinion of the Mishnah, that Yemos HaMashiach will be vastly different. It's not just going to be a matter of the difference being merely Shibud Malchus, but it will be a vast difference, an incredible difference, a marked difference. Yemos HaMashiach is going to be just the way that Navi Yeshayah describes it. Incredible. Incredible. Vastly different. No Averus, no Yetzirah, all kinds of incredible things. So what really is coming out is that we have a steer in the Rambam. We have two opinions in Chazal, whether Yemos HaMashiach will be similar to where we are now or vastly different. And the Rambam paskins in two different places, like the two different opposing opinions. And this steer is the steer that's asked by the Kesef Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, and the Gra, among others. I want to share with you two ways to answer this contradiction of the Rambam that open up lots of other ideas which we might not have time to develop fully, but at least to whet our appetite a little bit. Start with the Gra. The Gra in his Perush on Brachos in his Sefer Imrei Noam, which is a collection of the Gra's Perushim on Meseches Brachos, says clearly, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, these are not two opposing statements of Chazal, as the simple reading of the Mishnah and the Gemara seems that there's a machlokas. In fact, the Gemara says the word upliga to Shmuel, that there is a machlokas. Says the Gra, there's no machlokas, which is the Gra, of course, the Shitase, as Avari speaks of all the time, that whenever there's a machlokas in Agada, it's not really a machlokas. I think you speak that. I don't hear you too often, right? Okay, we'll see it right here, Pastor. The Radbaz might say what you're saying here. The Graz Sheet in general is that whenever you have a machlokas in Binyane Agada, it's not really machlokas, it's different situations. It's apples and oranges. One is talking about night, one is talking about day, as we'll see right now. The Graz says, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. There are two kinds that Yemos HaMashiach. I wasn't here, I know David Simon, I think Reb Ari also spoke about two kinds of Yemos HaMashiach. Four. Okay. There are two types of Yemos HaMashiach, says the Gra. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, v'zeh talya bizchus. We know that Chazal asked a contradiction in the Pesukim, contradiction in the Pasuk, I should say. Pasuk says in the Navi, in the Haftarah, I don't remember when we read the Haftarah, b'yitach hishena, Mashiach will come, b'yitach hishena, at the right time, but it'll be, achishena, it'll be speedily, and Chazal resolve the contradiction by saying Zachu, Achishen, Lo Zachu, Bi'ita. So says the Gra, these two models of Mashiach's arrival, Mashiach could either come because we hasten his arrival through our tshuva, through our Ma'asim Tovim, or Mashiach could come despite our lackadaisicalness, despite our laziness, despite our not doing tshuva. Mashiach will come at some point, at some designated point, be'ita, whenever the right time, the appointed time arrives, Mashiach will arrive. So says the Gra, that these two models of what Yemos HaMashiach will look like is determined by the nature of when Mashiach comes. If Mashiach will come through our own tshuva, through Zachu, Achishena, then it will be a world that will be very similar to the world that we're familiar with, just without Shibud Malchios. And then later on, there will come after that another point in history, another point where, which will be more involved in terms of the things that happen in the world around us, that will be a time of Mashiach ben David. And when Mashiach ben David comes, that will be at a later point in history when there will be indeed a transformative experience, a transformative time period of Mashiach ben David, Yizkai Mashiach Kosev Bilam Aves LaNetzach, and all the prophecies, all the Yehudi Hanavim, that will be at a later point in time. And therefore the Gros says, both of the Rambams are true, both of the opinions are true. They're talking about different stages in the Geula process, assuming that Klal Yisrael do tshuva, and are zocha first in this first stage, the first stage of Mashiach, to a more limited type of Yemos HaMashiach, where the world will look very similar, just no Malchus, no Shibud Malchios. And then later on, we'll graduate to the clock will strike at a point of Mashiach ben David's arrival, where there will be an entirely different type of world experience. And therefore, both of these opinions are true. That's how the Gra deals with this stira, with this argument in Chazal, and the stira in the Rambam. And the Gra says they're both true at different points in time, based on different circumstances. That's one approach to this machlokas. And I'd like to share with you one other approach, and then we'll stop. But before we do, just to remind ourselves of another Rambam at the very, very, very end of the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam writes that a person shouldn't think, again, it's going to relate to our discussion directly, Al Yale Al Alev Shemos HaMashiach Yivato Davar Mimin Hago Shel Olam. Don't think that when Mashiach's going to come, things will, you know, it's going to start raining apples and oranges and peaches and pears and plums and apricots. Or meatballs. Oh yeah, shum chiddush b'maisa breishis. The world's not going to be different in the phenomena in the world of the realm of physics isn't going to. The rules of physics aren't going to change. Ela olam k'minhago noheg. Oh, what about that pasuk in Yeshaya? V'gar ze'ev im keves and amerim kedi yirbatz. And that pasuk that talks about what seems to be the natural world not operating in its normal way of operating, that we're going to have the garzeev, the sheep with the wolf, and the namer with the gdi, the namer, what's that? Namer is a leopard. Leopard with the goat, which is not normal. That's not how this world works. They eat each other up. So says Ram, okay, that's just a mashal v'chida, it's just a parable, as if to say that Klal Yisrael, who are likened to sheep, won't be destroyed, won't be attacked by our enemies, who are likened to the ze'ev, the wolves, and the namer. And the Ram continues, and it will be time when everybody will return l'das ha'emes, not l'da'as with an ayin, l'das ha'emes, to the true religion, to the true belief. Nobody's going to steal, nobody's going to hurt others, and everybody will be nice to each other. And everything else, all the psukim regarding that the Nevi'im speak of, all the psukim of the Yeshaya that might talk about an extravagant, exotic world of Yemos HaMashiach, all these words are mishalim, they're all just parables of a time when everything will just be nice. But it's not going to be a change, it's not going to be a dramatic change in terms of the physical world. The Ravid says, I have a pasuk against you from Chumash, we're not going to go into the Ravid right now. With that in mind, the Ratvaz says something fascinating that Rav Ari hinted to earlier. When we presented these two opinions, one opinion saying that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Mos HaMashiach Ela Shibud Malchios, and the other opinion that says that it'll be a vastly different world, the Gemara said Pliga, that there's an argument between these two opinions. Listen to what this Radvaz says. If it wasn't Radvaz, I think you'd probably call me names for saying something like this. The Radvaz says the following. He says, when the Gemara says that these opinions are arguing, the Gemara didn't really believe it. You know why it's said that these opinions are arguing? Because the Gemara wanted people to feel good. The Gemara wanted people to feel good and to take the words of the Psukim of Yeshaya Hanavi that describe a beautiful, exotic, utopian world literally. So people could feel good, because when you live in a time of pain, when you live in a time of suffering, and somebody describes to you a utopian world that is so vastly different from your world experience, from your Weltanschauung, you're drawn to it. You want to believe it. You want to believe it. Take it literally. And therefore, says Radvaz, that's why the Gemara wrote, that's why the Amoraim said, Pliga, that there's a machlokas here. Don't say that there's an, just don't think that there's only an opinion who says that Olam Kim Minhago Noheg, that everything will be regular, just know Shibun Malchias. There's another opinion that says it's going to be a fantabulous, fantabulous, different kind of world and different kind of life that we have to look forward to. But, says the Radvaz, that's not really the truth, even though the Gemara said it. It's not really that they're arguing. And this is what the Rambam holds. The Rambam, of course, as we just mentioned, holds that all the different Nevi'im are really a mashal, are really a parable. And inasmuch as they're a parable, so there really is no stira between these two opinions. Because whatever the words of the Nevi'im that seem to be out otherworldly to us, they seem otherworldly to us because exactly that, because they're a parable. And therefore, the world that we live in is the world that we'll see tomorrow. The world that we live in now is the world of Yemos HaMashiach. Okay, there'll be improvements. There'll be improvements in the sense of no fighting, improvements in the sense of we'll be able to focus on our learning without distractions. But okay, the physical world won't be changing. There won't be maybe a Namer sitting next to a Keves and a Zev sitting next to a Keves. The natural world isn't going to change, isn't going to be different. But there's really no machlokas, and therefore the Rambam is able to paskin both of these opinions, because in the Rambam's world, that description of Yemos HaMashiach that's very vastly different from the world that we live in is all a mashal, is a parable. And therefore, there are not two opinions here. If you take the words of the Nevi'im literally, and the words of Shmuel, who says that Ein Bein Olam HaZelam HaLimos HaMashiach Elo Vashim Machlos Bavad, then there's a big machlokas. But if the words of the Nevi'im that are incredible, that seems so wonderful, are really just a parable, and they're only a mashal, they're not so different than the words of Shmuel, who says that Ein Bein Olam HaZeh Limos HaMashiach. What do we have at the end of the day? I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what Yemos HaMashiach will look like. We don't know what Mashiach will look like. But we know that we're a Tisha B'Av closer. We know that we're a year closer. We know that we worked hard today. We know that we put our guts into bringing Mashiach closer. And we're confident that we're going to become closer to whether the Nevuahs will be in parable, they'll be literal, we'll be passing like the Radvaz, whether we're passing like the Gra, whether we're passing like the Ravid who argues on the Rambam. Those points are immaterial. We'll be Zelcha Be'ez Hashem, the Schus, the Avod that we spent together over the past 24 hours of Avelis on the Chor, we should be zochah very speedily to see the Simcha and the Binyan by Yishlish and Meher of Yomeinu, and very speedily to merit Bias HaMashiach. I'll ask everybody to please hang up their Zoom now so that the recording will end. Last two seasons.